Will you pray with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text has been read from the lectern, but it is a text that begs for context. The context is Jesus sending out the 12. And I'm sure that without too much stretching at all, one can certainly apply it well in this week of Reformation. And I see at least one sitting in front of me, somebody who just got a call this week and is being sent out to church. And whereas Professor Case on Tuesday thought it wasn't necessarily a good idea to take a last crack at those being sent out and those anticipating being sent out, I find it interesting that during this week, the suggested readings contain much of Matthew 10. Interestingly enough, the pericope that starts with verse 16 isn't among them. The ones that say, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Maybe that's good reason in this week of calls. I send you out as sheep among wolves. He goes on to explain what that means. Be prepared. Expect what that means to be among wolves. Why would you think it would be different for you than from your teacher? And there will be troubles, difficulties, because indeed I bring a sword, or as Luke says, I bring fire to the earth. And finally, faithfulness is rewarded. Let's spend some time on this text looking at faithfulness in confession. This is part of what comes right after being sent out among wolves, where we are told to be as keen as serpents and guileless as doves. Confession. The cardinal act in the life of faith. Confess me before men. Do not deny me. Certainly, as we learn from Scripture, that means more than just Jesus himself. But all that we know about him, all that he has done, all that he has taught. And that we are to confess not only by word, but by deed. That we do not say one thing and live a life that is contrary to what we speak. But also a word of caution here, that we are told not to deny him, we are to confess him. And that means that we are faithful to the word, but not more than the word. We have Paul's instruction in 1 Corinthians, where there he says that he was made all things to all men, always in the service of the gospel. We are very tempted in the organized church at times to elevate tradition and practice to the level of doctrine. As one of my esteemed colleagues on this campus is prone to say, if we are going to say, thus saith the Lord, we had better be sure that he knows about it first. We are to confess. He also says, take no thought that you don't misunderstand what it means when we talk about peace on earth. We first hear those words, that's rather shocking to hear that say, I didn't come to bring peace on earth, but the sword and fire. Certainly he remains the Prince of Peace and has brought peace between us and our God. But the very preaching of his gospel brings a sword. It is divisive in the sense that those who do not believe hate the master as well as the under-shepherds of the master. And that division can indeed even reach down into homes and families. I am sure that most of us, at least, can think back into our own experiences, our own families, and certainly acquaintances, where it is all too well known that the gospel becomes a point of contention in homes, and at best they end up in some form of compromise, so that even we are warned that natural affections dare not get in the way of confession. Those are hard words to hear, is it not? Father against son, daughter against mother. And too often we know what the temptations are, is to get our priorities all screwed up. It's so easy to put things ahead of God, worrying about our life, trying to save our life, but we may lose it. Take up your cross and follow me. The cross that is uniquely ours, not only as Christians, but that cross that comes along with the proclaimers of the word. Keeping our life and our priorities straight. As Christians in general, and as proclaimers of the gospel, is exceedingly difficult. How glibly we can sing in our hymns, to thee alone, dear Lord, I give, myself to thee, dear Lord, I live. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Or this week we sang in that battle hymn of the Reformation, and take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. I'm sorry, I still did my memorization out of TLH, so that's why it sounded different than what we did on Tuesday. Which one of us this morning can say that we have not denied our Lord? These are difficult words in this text. And if you are at all like me this morning, I feel that I must take my place alongside of the publican standing in the temple, not feeling worthy to look up at all, saying only, Lord, be merciful to me, a denier. But what comfort we can also take with a post-Easter Peter, who certainly denied. But we stand there with our brother Peter, hearing the Lord ask each one of us individually, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than these?" And oh, how precious those words should be to us on this campus. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. We the deniers, also the forgiven ones. We the ones who run at times, also the sent ones. May God grant to each and every one of us that faith that clings to the promise of forgiveness, and that then gives us the grace and the power to confess our Lord Jesus Christ and to go forth and to proclaim him among men. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.